It's a big question. It's a question for you guys. So what's next? One thing I want to do, pre-scheduled sick days. I'm like a perfect attendance type of guy. I think I missed 4 days of school from kindergarten through a PhD. So I don't miss. I don't miss days of work. I don't miss here. That's just how I am. But that's probably not the best thing in the world for the church. If we're going to build disciples and somebody's going to need to become a teacher, I thought what I might start doing is to have pre-scheduled sick days. I will be sick on this Wednesday. Maybe we'll get somebody to teach class on that Wednesday. So hopefully that'll just help the church in the long run. So how often I'll have pre-scheduled sick days? I don't know. Every couple, 3 weeks? If I work myself out of a job, that's okay too. So that's my plan. Here's some things I offer. Ephesians, it's all about Christ's church, the church of Christ. Keeping it pure, it's all about his church. James, the gospel of common sense. Those two kind of go with Galatians. From, you know, you got the gospel and no other gospel. Do you go with what does it take to keep the church pure? Do you go with the gospel of common sense, which includes works, faith with works? We can do the Song of Solomon, the greatest love song. We do word studies, trees, something else entirely. You know, most of that stuff's up there. I just threw stuff up. A, Ephesians, you sure? E was my favorite, trees. No. Trees would make a good study. What's that?
Are you related to Josh Kilmer?
No. No. Is that a poem? Oh, yes, that poem. I know that poem.
That must have been one of
yours. It must have been. That's
right. I get two for that.
That's right. For stumping me. So that's the one. All righty. So anyways, Ephesians is pretty good. Like I say, we can go whatever direction you want to go. There's my sources. The Holy Bible. I'm using English Standard. You can use whatever you want. Freed for Freedom is Edward C. Wharton. So this is kind of his conclusion, but I like to start out with the conclusion because it sets the mode for the whole class, whether or not we ever get that idea anyways. The freedom Christians have from the guilt of sin is by faith in the person and work of Christ Jesus. So where do we get our freedom from the guilt of sin? Christ. So I know this isn't Bible, but just kind of set you in the mind of that. When that faith leads a sinner to renounce his life of sin and takes Jesus to be Lord of his life and to be baptized into Christ, that person is justified. He is freed from sin. Romans 6, 1 through 7. One of y'all was baptized, right? Mom was? All right. Is this right? Is the yellow part correct? Is that about right? She doesn't have her glasses. Welcome to our club right there. I understand that. Okay. When that faith leads a sinner to renounce his life of sin, takes Jesus to be the Lord of his life, and to be baptized into Christ, that person is justified. He's freed from sin. And that's all we know. In Romans 6, starting in verse 1, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We are buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin, for one who has died has been set free from sin. And that's really where it's at. And the Lord has freed him to remain free from the guilt of sin, but the ongoing nature of justification is conditional. It's conditional on keeping faith in Christ. And this is, we'll learn more about it, look more at that after a while. Paul pleads with the Galatians and us not to return to the bondage of our sins again by yoking ourselves to any other person or any other system that takes faith out of Christ. The consequences are fatal. So even as we were set free from sin by an obedience of faith in Christ, We are to stand fast in our freedom from sin by conditional obedience of faith in Christ. Stand fast, therefore. I still think he could have probably dumbed that down a little bit better so it came out in normal English. But anyways, this is kind of where we're at. So, we'll read our 12 verses. Who wants to read first? Okay. Two through four.
Look, I Paul say to you that if you are self-circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who is self-circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are servant from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace.
Five and six.
For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love.
Seven. The rest of them are one verses. So if you've not really ever felt like reading and you could spit out five or six words, this is your chance. So who wants to read verse seven? Verse 8.
This persuasion is not from him who calls you.
Verse 9. See, I told you.
Rule 11 leavens the whole law.
Verse 10.
I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty. Whoever he is.
Verse 11. And number 12. Okay. Good. All right, those are our 12 verses. So we'll work from there. I got no clock. Whose idea was that?
It died.
It died. The clock died. It went ahead and died. Yeah.
Which is different than the masculine. And emasculation is a form of mutilation.
Yeah.
But you can mutilate yourself without emasculating.
You can. And it's also kind of like that. He's talking about those who've mutilated the gospel, mutilating themselves. And they say, since you brought it up, we'll start with that one anyways. They say that nearby Galatia is a place called Phrygia, Phrygia, and it's on all the maps. And Phrygia, as far as I can tell, had one goddess. No gods, but they had one goddess, the mother of all gods, and her name was Sibyl. And the way that the priests of the nearby Phrygians would worship Sibyl is they would emasculate themselves. They would go beyond circumcision and go that far. And this is what Paul says. If they're going to put a bunch of garbage on you, they might as well be like the neighbors and just go all the way. If they're going to mutilate the gospel, they might as well mutilate themselves. So it's kind of all right there.
The end.
So yeah, that's the end.
I read a commentary today, and one translation says cut themselves off.
Yeah.
That maybe he just meant they, if they just leave us alone, cut themselves off from the church and not keep influencing the people that are here.
There you go. That'll work perfect too. There's a lot of ways to look at it. So anyways, we're done with that verse. All right. So Galatians 5:1. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. So what's the slavery that we're from which we're set free? Are we freed from the law, or are we freed from sin?
Yes.
Yes. I'd rather have questions that have no really good answer, but yeah. Clayton says I put trick questions up there on Sunday morning. So, yeah. We are. We're freed from the law, and we're freed from sin.
And he's talking about the Mosaic law.
He is talking about Mosaic law. He's also talking about any law you want to set up. You take other forms of religion that have their own sets of laws, whether it's Islam, whether it's Hindu, whether it's, you know, the Mormons have a whole other set of laws, the Catholics have another set of laws. You can pick out a whole bunch of different ways that you can limit your freedom. You can limit yourself. If you want to say that to be a Christian, I have to be here 3 times a week, and I have to take Lord's Supper, and I have to throw in some flat amount of money each week, if that's all you do is you check the box, you set up a set of laws which don't save you either. So, but you can do the same thing with the right heart, and it'll be perfectly fine. So, yeah. But I would say you're right. Freed from the law of Moses, partly. Freed from living a set of laws, which just man-made laws, which won't really lead you to salvation. You are in the law of liberty. You're in the law of love. You're in the law of the Spirit. You're law. You're under another law, a whole lot different law, but it's a law. You're right. So if Paul meant freedom from the law of Moses, could the Gentile Christians at Galatia submit again to its yoke of slavery? Like I say, I'm going to say it's part of it. I'm not going to say it's not it. I'm not going to say, no, it's not the law of Moses. I'm going to say it's part of it, because part of what he is doing is telling them, don't fall for what the Judaizers are trying to put onto you. So if it was just the law of Moses, let's put it that way, could they return to the yoke of slavery of the law of Moses? No. How come? They were never under it. They weren't Jews. So they weren't under the law of Moses, so they can't go back to it. In Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I think we've all seen this. So what are the wages of sin? Death. Separation from God. Short one. All right. It's death. It's separation from God. That's the wages of sin. Why do you think Scripture uses the word wages instead of penalty? That is one of the worst sentences that we commonly come across. For the wages of sin is death. I always want to say for the wages of sin are death. It always says is.
Wages are something that you work for.
Something you work for. So you could, what? Getting paid for your actions, right?
Yeah.
Okay? That's it. So it's really a better word than penalty in that aspect, right?
It's just the opposite of the free gift.
Yeah.
It's a free gift, you know.
Yeah, it is definitely opposite of free gift. Yeah, if you want to get a bonus at the end of the week, you get money just for showing up. That's the free gift. But the wage is part of it? It is. It's the opposite of it.
Colossians chapter 2. Since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These are all destined to perish with use, because they're based on human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have the appearance of wisdom, with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. So it's that death thing again, and it's a death to the rules that people make about Christianity.
Yeah, it's a death to the rules people make about Christianity. And they continue to make. We continue to make them. We'll make them for ourselves. Okay?
Even the Galatians came out of paganism, or what we call paganism, where they worship lots of gods, but they had certain things they had to do to please.
Sure, you had certain things you had to do to please those gods. Even though they're pagan gods, they got a set of them. Each one had a different ritual, had a different offering. Sure, they had, and they were used to that. Coming out of the pagan world myself, I understand that. I understand what it costs to honor those gods. I got one hole in one playing golf. We played night golf when I was in college, glow in the dark ball. I got a hole in one on the eighth hole. It was only a 9-hole course. My buddy said, put that ball in your pocket because you'll lose it on the next hole. I said, no. Sure enough, first hit, plunk, in a pond. So he's like, yeah. So that's one of those, but that's one of those rules of golf. That's like the offering to the pond gods, you know? It's just how it is, you know?
Was that a rage golf?
What?
Did you lose the ball?
No, I really did. I hit a hole in one on the eighth hole and the next.
Like a common golf
table. It probably is. It's probably happened to more people than me.
Set up with yourself, whether you set it up for anybody else or not, things that you think really look like you're religious.
Sure.
Look like you're, I mean, you believe it.
Yes, you can fall into your own trap. Not somebody else's rules, not somebody else's trap, your own.
Your own trap. So, I mean, it isn't something that, oh, everybody else is doing that. I mean, I look in the mirror, I can fall in that trap too.
Sure. I find myself doing stuff like that. I find myself standing in the back because I got the prayers and I organized this and I did the count. And sometimes I have to tell myself, you need to go sit down, you know? It's because I don't have to stand there and do all that stuff. But yeah, you can set your own trap.
You used to tell us, do not put God in a box.
No. Sure. God, yeah. You can't really, you'd think you could build the best set of rules you wanted to build. But there may come a time. Mike?
Kind of along the same lines of what we're talking about, you can be entrapped by other people's expectations. Even good expectations, but it may not be what God intends for you to be doing. And, you know, we're studying the Gospel of John and the place where it says that they wanted the approval of men more than the approval of God. That the Pharisees who were actually believing Jesus, believing what he said, that they wanted the approval of men more than the approval of God. And so it kept them from acting on their belief.
Sure, yeah, the story of Lazarus is that way. Pharisees see it, they can't deny it, but a lot of them can't admit it either. Weldon taught that last this Sunday. I missed it, but I know he taught it. So, but yeah, they can't, as a matter of fact, they see him raise Lazarus, they know he raised Lazarus, but they come up with a plan to kill him. Because of expectations. So do you think the frequency of sin would be reduced if the wages were paid like a paycheck? I get paid every Friday. I know some people get paid twice a month. Some people get paid once a month, third of the month. If the wages of sin, if what you were due was paid out every Friday, do you think it would cut down on sin? Cut down on my second week. Yeah. But
you show up every week to get your paycheck.
Yeah. But it's just, you know, it is what it is. It's a paycheck.
But not good.
No, it's not. That's what I'm saying. If you got that every week, the sin you had through the week, you took the beating, but it's more than the beating. It's paid, the wages are. So every Friday, like I said.
But that's not how God wants us.
No.
He wants us to come
free. Right. He wants us to come free. He wants us to come freely.
Well, whether we know it or not, the wages of sin are being kept.
Yeah.
Whether we recognize it, whether we can see it. And then on the other hand, also, treasures being laid up in heaven when we do those things that are righteous.
It's a big tally sheet.
And so, you know, if we really look at ourselves in life's mirror, we know where we stand, you know, as far as our sins is concerned. And you know, I don't care if I have the lowest paid job.
As long as you're there. As long as you're there. That's it. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So easy one here. Who has sinned? Everybody. Oh, that one was wide. That one was better. All right. Everybody. So if everybody sinned, have we all earned the curse of death, whether they're under the law or not? In Romans 3:19-20, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin." So if we've all sinned, regardless of whether we're under the law, do we earn the curse of death? Yeah, we've all earned that. Galatians 3:13, verse 22, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. It is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree.' But the scripture imprisoned everything under sin so that the promise by faith in Christ Jesus might be given to those who believe." So not only have we all earned the curse of death, that's also with Christ, that's also taken care of. So back to the verse 1, when we're justified, we were set free from the curse of the law. We're set free from that curse of death that we earned from the sin in our life because we're justified, because of our faith in Jesus. So which sins are we freed from? Past sins or future sins? Yes. Ah, punk. That was a bad throw. Think about it. All right, so we're forgiven freed from our past sins and our future sins. If you go back to Romans 8, verses 1 through 4, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." So, there is a condition there, isn't it?
Yes. You have to be in Christ, and you have to be according to the Spirit.
You have to be in Christ, and you have to be according to the Spirit. Yes, that is true. That is the condition. That's quite a condition, but that's what the condition is.
It's just a condition.
You're right. It's not. You can't earn this. You can't earn this justification. You can't earn the salvation. But it's the condition. You got to be in Christ, and you got to be in the Spirit.
But from day one, God always had conditions.
He's always had conditions. Yeah. All his covenants are, if you do this, I'll do this.
That's the covenant, because the covenant takes both. He promises what he will do, but for you to receive the covenant blessing, you have to.
Yeah. Ten Commandments start out, "I am the Lord your God." That's still it's got that thing. Your end of it is, he has to be your God.
Yeah, believe it, I'm
the
Lord
your God. Yeah. So, the old way, law of sin and death, you're condemned for sin. The new way, through Christ, law of the Spirit of life, and Christ condemns our sin. So Romans 6, 14 through 16, for sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? So if we're freed from the curse of sin, are we free to live a life, should be life, of sin without restraint? No? You sure? Right. We're not free to live life just the way we want to. And that's really where verse 15. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. All right, Mike Wall, you know I don't ever forget you when I hit Romans 6. So.
What's that?
I never forget you when I get to Romans 6, do I? So. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. What can we do? What can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Same thing. I always laugh with Mike because Mike's got a story of going to church. When the preacher read this verse, was he a deacon, an elder?
Just an elderly gentleman.
Elderly gentleman. It was half hearing and half awake or something like that. When it got to the end of verse 1, said amen very loudly. So what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? Amen. So I never forget that. So yeah, that's the key to it. You would think, I mean, it's one of those things of he doesn't want you to go the other direction. Although you're freed from the law, don't think that you're free to just live in sin. You can't go that direction either.
First John says that if we're walking in the light, we the blood cleanses us and we continually cleanse us. But we have to be walking in the light.
We have to walk in the light. We each sin. We haven't gone sin-free. All right? We can't seem to be able to conquer that. The law, Deuteronomy, I don't know what it is, 31 or something like that, I think it says, the law is capable of being fulfilled. Yet in 1,500 years, only one guy did. So it wasn't impossible, it was just nobody did. So, yeah, but it's all about walking in the light. And again, it's not real rigid. I know when I was a new Christian, it would have been a lot easier for me if I had straight lines that said, this is where you should go and this is where you shall stay away from. But it's not that easy. And as I get older, I kind of see why it's not that easy. Sometimes you're going to have to walk in the bushes. Sometimes you're going to have to put your own salvation on the line to save somebody else. Yeah?
Sometimes you have to pick yourself up by the bushes.
Sometimes you don't know you're in the bushes either. Sometimes you just, I thought I was in the straight and narrow, but I didn't see it quite right. Yeah, sometimes it's that way. It is.
If we see each other in trouble, and instead of walking on by, we jump in and help.
That's why it's important. The church is the body of Christ. We're here for one another. Some days you're here to be uplifted. Some days you're here to lift somebody else up. It's hard to tell which. You can't look around here and guess who's here for which purpose. Right? And it might switch. There might be somebody came to be uplifted, but he ends up lifting somebody else up. Okay? That's just how it works. Lloyd gets one because I know somebody who's always uplifted by him. My sister.
But, you know, it says there, you don't have license to sin just because of
No.
What does it say when he says, how many times do I forgive?
Yeah. Forever.
What are we for?
It's nice to have that forgiveness. If we're walking in the light, if we're trying, if we're with Christ, we're in the Spirit. Because. No, it doesn't give you a license to live that way. Do we?
The other way is just forgiven no matter what.
Sure. Hey, if it was nice, if it was just, I'm forgiven, now I go do whatever I want. Man, people lined up. There'd be people lining up here, right? It'd be like Starbucks, man. People would be paying $5 a piece to come in here just for that, just for that free license to go do what they wanted to do. Okay? If you ever go for a top secret security job, the backside of the sheet has all these things. Did you do any of the following things? Drugs, gambling, all kinds of crazy stuff. You just check it all, you know? Same kind of thing. But it's not that way. Will people do that? Sure. You're trying to get away from it? Sure. All right. If you're called to freedom, brothers, for you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. So how did we come into freedom?
Through Christ.
Through Christ. Death, burial, resurrection. Yep. That was the next question. You're ahead of me. One is ahead. If she spoke later, she'd be giving the stuff away. What do we have to do to receive ongoing justification by faith? Stand firm. Stand firm. So let me ask you right now, is that easy? It's not easy. There are days when it's really easy. There's days when it's not. There's weeks, months, years, and years sometimes when it's not. But that's the key. Verses 2 through 4, we moved on. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. All right. So I kind of summarized these in a few little fill-in-the-blank statements. So we'll try to work on it. Circumcision would obligate the Galatians to blank. Keep the whole law of Moses. Keeping the whole law would blank.
That would be the opposite of grace. So that's why you've fallen from.
There'd be no grace. You kept the whole law.
So that's how you
give up.
So you kept the whole law. It severs you from Christ. It severs you from grace. You don't have grace. So if you're severed from Christ, I guess it was really there, you fall away from Christ. Fall away from grace. Would Christ be of any advantage to them at that point? No. No advantage at all. If you fall away from grace, and the whole thing about Christ was that grace that covers your sins, you're at the point where you didn't need him anyways. And the Galatians had Christ before they tried to add the law to it, so what it had beginning wouldn't be needed. Mike? Okay.
It's really kind of the opposite of how we usually use it. In other words, I think we usually use it incorrectly. We usually use it to say someone who's doing well and then they start sinning. They fall off the wagon or they...
Yeah, they fall into the bushes and then the ditch. And
he's defining backsliding as...
Going into a set of laws.
Yeah.
Going into a set of rules. Yeah. Yeah, they've added... They take away their freedom They don't need the grace because they've taken away their freedom and gone back to a set of laws.
Don't we see that the difference is either having faith in Christ or having faith in you keeping the law? Isn't that the...
Mm-hmm.
When you begin to put your faith in your ability to keep the law...
Yeah, the faith of me.
You have fallen from grace because the gift of God comes when we put our faith in Christ.
Yeah, you're right.
And that's grace.
I like that. Is the balance between that faith in Christ and the faith in me. If we put our faith into Christ, when we're...
But that's the self-deception.
Sure. That's
the self-deception.
I can earn it.
You think you can have both. Mm-hmm. You think you can still have your set of rules and receive all the grace. But if you're not. You've already denied the grace and accepted it.
To die to grace instead of accept the set of rules. Mike?
A really good understanding of grace, I mean, not just the word, but what Jesus did for you, what God did for you, is tremendously better motivation to do good than any set of laws that you could ever come up with. And that's really what the bottom line is here. Grace is the ultimate motivator, a good understanding, a correct understanding of grace. The ultimate motivator to do right.
Yeah, it's the ultimate motivator. We know that from worldly terms. If on your way home tonight, your car breaks down, it's dark, it's rainy, and you call somebody and they come get you, would you feel obligated to them in some form or fashion? Would you do anything? Would it motivate you to want to do something? Huh? Sure. You wouldn't? Ah, yeah. I like that limitation. Yeah, that's a good thing. Because, yeah, you wouldn't want to be just limited. Well, Brenda calls me. She knows she shouldn't bake chocolate chip cookies for somebody else's husband because that's the law. You don't bake chocolate chip cookies for somebody else's husband, right? Right?
It sounds like a good law.
But it was wet and cold, and maybe she went beyond that. It wasn't just chocolate chip cookies. Maybe it was, I don't know. Yeah, somebody calls you in the middle of the night, come get them out on a beeline, on a beach line. Now there's another one right there. That happens, right? Or the mobile station, see? These kind of things happen. But you'll feel obligated in some form or fashion. Not that you feel obligated, but you want to. You feel motivated. Is that a better word? Motivated rather than obligated?
Yeah.
You feel motivated to want to do something.
That's what motivated Paul. He understood.
Yeah, I'm the greatest of all sinners, so I'm going to go share it with the greatest of all sinners. I'm going to go share it with the dogs, the ones who couldn't get a bite at the Lord's table. I'm going to go share it with those people. One, he was pushed that way, but two, he wanted to. If he didn't want to, there's no way. When you look at Acts, when he gets to Galatia, and they drag him to the edge of town and stone him and leave him for dead, there's no way that he wouldn't rush the dust off and say, hey, let's go try the next town. If he didn't want to go, he would never have done it. So, yeah, it's that motivation.
You know, Roseanne says something that was good. I know we talked about all his sin and fall short of the glory of God, but God worked with us with laws. Even Adam and Eve, he says, hey, eat of this tree, don't eat of this tree, and all that, and we failed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I was reading the next verse where he said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. It didn't work. It didn't work. They didn't choose life.
No.
You know.
No.
They chose death and it ended up and separate from God, but also physically it ended up in slavery.
Yeah. You can find it. Old Testament's full of that story. How many times they've separated themselves from God? Big circle. Starting Judges, it's just a little while, and it's bigger and bigger and bigger till they split Israel and Judah.
So we as a church, if we start living according to laws that we make up or tradition of men we make up, yeah, it's not going to work.
It's not going to work. No, it's not going to work. We got sets of rules. We got sets of, we got stuff he's passed on that we keep, right? Yeah. We got, you know, elders and deacons have qualifications. Those are set forth in the Bible. We have what's it take to be justified. We'd have, what else? What else? What else is kind of set in stone? Even like elders and deacons, though, they're not really set in stone. They're just, I don't know, I look at them as sliders, like on that mixer board back there. Because some of them have a little bit more and some have a little bit less. Meeting times on Wednesdays are not set up in the Bible, aren't they? We've changed that twice since I've been here. Ah, it does tell us that. Hebrews 10, 24, and 25.
You know, I kind of look at it more as the Good Samaritan story, okay?
Okay.
And I look at it as he could have chosen to just walk by, just like the others, who had their rules and who had their,
yeah,
their, you know, formulas or whatever.
They had rules, why they didn't stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But because of the love he had for that individual, it was a, he formed a personal relationship with that individual even without knowing him. He cared for him.
Yeah.
And that's what I think.
But there is no law against doing good. You'll find times with Jesus. It's a balance between two things. The Pharisees say, you did this sin. He goes, I had this choice. I picked one over the other.
Well, so Jesus said, you know, you do all the little jots and the tittles and the everything and don't do the mercy and other things. But he said, don't get rid of one to do the other. In other words, there are certain things that we do believe the Bible has drew a line in the sand, in a sense. We don't want to get rid of that, but we don't want to turn into legalists either. We want to accept all the love and the mercy and the compassion and all those things and put them together.
And that's where you'll start seeing variations. You made a rule that you had to be your own personal law, that you had to be here every time the doors are open. One, sometimes it seems like the doors are always open here. Two, what if you had to do something out of love for somebody else? Hey, Wednesday night's the night that grandma took a turn for the worst. What if tonight's the night that I got to go bail somebody out from somewhere? You know, it might be that kind of thing. Here's my notes, Mike Wall's teaching tonight, because I got to go bail somebody out from something. That's okay.
That's kind of like, you know what Dean, author, or, well, I don't know what Dean's last name is, but she came to church Sunday morning on a flat tire.
Yeah, I remember that.
And the guys went outside and they made arrangements for that tire, so they missed part of Sunday school. And then they came on in for the worship service, and then they finished it after the service.
It wasn't just a tire, it was a wheel. She chewed up a whole wheel. She wasn't going nowhere.
That was extended in.
Yeah.
Be fishing.
Yeah, that's
it. But no guilt, freedom.
Freedom.
Well, it's also putting yourself in the other person's condition. When you say, what if I ride in that car like that? Wouldn't I want somebody to take care of me?
Sure. Because she wasn't going to be able to fix that.
And that's the difference in the Samaritan that he brought out. He put himself in the position, what if I've been beat up and left here? And sometimes we think what we're doing is more important, but it's not. I mean, if we're going down the road, like the priest and the Levi.
That's part of it. Balancing it out. What's prioritizing what is and what ain't. So once saved, always saved. It kind of goes along with this question here too. It's a question because it's a lot of churches around teach this, that once you're saved, you're always saved. What we've talked about here, does that fall into place? If you're walking in the light, you're guaranteed, you're right. As long as you're walking in the light. Take care, brothers, lest there be any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For you have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end.
I think the better was in the very beginning when you said keeping your faith, which is being faithful. You don't have to work, but you have to be faithful.
You have to be faithful. And that, yeah, right here. Hold on to that original confidence firm to the end. The confidence that you were baptized with on Sunday. No, there you go. Hold on to that forever, okay? Don't forget that. We can all relate, everybody here, we can relate to this, okay? The confidence that she had on Sunday, you were all there. Most of you were there. Do you still carry that same confidence today, all through your life? That's the key. Everything we do, based on that confidence.
You're going to continue this on next week?
Yeah.
Would you care to comment next week on as long as it's called today?
Okay.
That's something for you to think about.
All right. I'll do that. As long as it's called today, I'll look at that. Okay. Well, that's it. So thank you all. And hopefully we'll see you all Sunday.